I hope you all continue and take the second course on security as continuous improvement, which will begin in April. It has the code IMT4651. Strange that the follow-up course has a lower code than the beginner course. There we will continue using such models to understand better issues in security management, especially those related to continuous improvement. Now, I assume you have this model graphically. How do you put in this variable time here? Well, let me check. I think I have to close this and make sure that I am using the same version as Vensim, as you have, the Vensim PLE. Yes, okay, that's correct. So in order to create the value time, or not to create, but to put it on this on the desktop, you have to select here the, so small this year, it's hard to see, shadow variable, this one. So you click on this one, and you click somewhere, you get a list, then you click on time, okay, and then you get this one, and this you can connect there. Then our task is the attack rate. You put in 10 intrusions per month. Or perhaps I can pass this to Word and show you that. Okay, so do this. Attack rate, 10 intrusions per month. Intrusions, they increase because of the intrusion rate. Originally zero. Initial value zero. Although, let me see. I think I would prefer to make it initially equal to the attack rate. So put this here. Here, so, and let's initialize this as the intrusion rate. Okay, as initial attack rate, sorry. Which means that this link disappears unless we choose model settings, sketch, show the initial causes on the model diagram, you get this gray one, which you know. The intrusion rate, we will define this way, and I will explain how. Intrusion rate should be equal to this year, and I will explain. Oops. So it should be equal to the attack rate multiplied by 1 minus the effect of learning on the intrusion rate. So if the effect of learning is low, in the beginning there is no learning, then the intrusion rate will be equal to the attack rate. As learning increases, the effect of learning on the intrusion rate will increase more and more. I assume it's a quantity between 0 and 1. So as the effect of learning increases, the attack rate is multiplied by a number smaller than 1. So it becomes less and less and less and less. So put this equation there for the definition of the intrusion rate. And now we are left in the end with this one. And we are going to create this from scratch I'm going to point to the things that we have to do, then reverse them and start from scratch. If you look at the variable effect of learning in the intrusion rate, this one, you will see that I have defined this as auxiliary, and here, instead of normal, which is the typical thing, is with lookup. And when you define it with lookup, you get a different part here where you get the equation, which says this depends on time, and the lookup is this thing here that you create as a graph here. So let's start from scratch. If I start from scratch, this is a normal, and I have nothing here. That's how I start. So that's what would happen if you click on the effect of learning on the intrusion rate as you have put it on the screen. The first thing you need to do is to change from subtype normal to with lookup. And this should be empty, should be like this, should look like this. So I open it again. And then as equation, it should depend on the input time, which is here. Click on that. Then you click on initial value and you click as graph. And you get such a screen. And what we are going to do is to put in values as here. First of all, I think I forgot one thing. And that is that when you started the model, let's go back, I want you to have in the settings, time bounds, month, let's put months, it doesn't matter. And the final time, 60, 5 years. So here you should have 60, and here you should have month, okay? And now, what we are going to do is create this graph here. Here is the graph. And we are going to enter the numbers that are here, one at a time. Unfortunately, the zooming is not so good, so if I zoom out, maybe this is too small. Well, maybe you can see that on your screen. Let's leave it at this. It's a little bit silly that I don't see a possibility to do a zooming as I like. If I put zoom in, it's a bit too much. 100% is like this. Well, the first thing that we need to do is to define the scales. And since we simulate from 0 to 60 months, then here, in this one, as graph, we have 0 and here X marks 60. That's the first thing you do. And then, the value of Y, the output, should be between 0 and 1. So you put in here 1. Now we go back to this. Then we enter these values. You could draw them, but that needs a very good hand. So rather we enter the values 0, at time 0, no effect, 0. So you go here, you put 0, and you click on the output, put 0, enter, and then you put 10, and for 10 you should have 0.05, so 0.05, enter, 20, for 20 you should have 0.15, 0.15, 30, for 30 you should have 0.3, enter, for 40, you should have 0.41, enter, 50, You can pass to the next one just by pushing the tab or clicking, whatever you like. For 50, we should have 0.47. And finally, for 60, we should have 0.5. Then you get such a lookup, which expresses the impact of learning. Originally, for time zero, nothing. Then as time passes, you learn, and we end up by learning to avoid 50%. That's the point. So click on OK. By the way, click on OK, this is then defined, close. Why is this? Ah, yes, I think Vensim has forgotten that I put in the equations here time. Click on time, OK. So now it's defined. Save this. I will return to this and show you that you could have drawn these things, because you can move this as you like and give it any shape and so on. The disadvantage of doing this is perhaps that you get strange numbers and so on. I put in cancel. But you can in principle do it this way. Instead of putting the values there, you can enter them by clicking and drawing. Okay, now you can simulate. And you can see what happens to the attack rate, the intrusion rate. One way you're showing this very quickly is select this, hold the shift key, select this, click on the graph, and there you see what happens. And the intrusions, the attack rate is the blue curve, which is steady at the value of 10, whereas the intrusion rate decreases over time, and in the end is by about 5. Okay? Any questions? I will put this model in front of, so that you can, if you haven't been able to follow all the details here, you can create it by yourself. No questions? Okay. Then let's now look at the second exercise. Effect of measures to contain intrusions. We assume that at time zero, a company has registered 12 intrusions. Okay, put in 12 here. And that the rate of intrusions in the past has been 12 intrusions per month. Okay? The company enforces measures to contain the intrusions. We assume that the measures depend on the deviation between the current rate of intrusions and the target that the company defines as acceptable, only 2 intrusions per month. Demanding no intrusions will be too costly, so the company has to find a trade-off between the desire to have few intrusions and the cost of containing the intrusions. And for this, we will model the rate of intrusions using a lookup function for the effect of measures with values between 0.75 if the deviation is high and 0.2 if the deviation is low. So, first of all, I would like you to create with Vensim the following model. And let me check. Yes. So, please create this model. This is going to take a little bit more time, so let me say I give you 5 minutes to do that, or perhaps a bit more. 10 minutes. So we take a little break while you are doing this of about 10 minutes, and then I continue. And in between, I am going to put the values in a Word document so that you can see them. Attack rate, 12 intrusions per month. Intrusions, 12, but I could make it more elegantly, and that is putting the link and defining this as the attack rate. So again, in order to see this, I need to put a sketch, show the initial courses, like this. Then the company defines as the target intrusion rate 2 intrusions per month. So that's what they want to have at the end. Then there will be need to include a perception, and the perception time we put it as 1 month. What else? We have the attack rate. We have the intrusions originally equal to the attack rate, we have the target intrusion rate, and we have this one. Okay. Then the perceived intrusion rate. Is equal to okay, I missed that once more. Where you see that I am using this function delay one. Which I means I can put the initial value attack rate. And here I must tell you that there is a bug in VenSim, because I am initializing with the default value, which is the same value that the intrusion rate will have at time zero. The attack rate is equal to intrusion rate at time zero. But if I use the default value, then VenSim says I am using a circular definition. It doesn't understand that I have a delay. So there is a bug in VenSim. I am going to report that to the company, hoping that they will fix it. Okay. Then we continue. The deviation from the target intrusion rate is simply the difference between perceived intrusion rate and target intrusion rate. So it's the gap or difference. Like this. Then the intrusion rate it's defined like this. It is the attack rate multiplied by the effect of the measures triggered from the deviation from the target inclusion rate. In other words, we assume that these measures are strongest if there is a big difference between what you want to have and what is occurring. And as you are approaching the desired, the target inclusion rate, then the measures become weaker and weaker and weaker. That's the law of diminishing returns. It's easy to improve the situation if the situation is bad, but as you are coming closer and closer to the target, becomes lower. So then we need to model this effect of measures, and this is the next thing that we are going to define. And this is where we come the lookup. So let's make that here. And there, as before, you have an auxiliary with the lookup. And the graph looks like this. So now you should know how to do that. That is, you need first to put the scale. X is now the deviation from the target intrusion rate. If we have 12 attacks and the target is 2, then we are in the range, the deviation up to 10. So that's why I have here as maximus X 10. Whereas the effect should be from 0 to 1. So I put, the effect is a number between 0 and 1. So I put the scale from 0 to 1. Then I want you to reproduce this. And the way to do that is enter 0 as input. The deviation is 0. Then we have very little effect. 1, still very little effect. 2 deviation, it's increasing. And when you come to a big deviation, let's put 0.75. So if you could do that, or here is a bigger number, a bigger screen that allows you to see that better. So here is the scale, 0, 0.2, 1, and so on. So if you could enter this, I give you 5 minutes, and then I assume that you have it. If you have any questions, then you raise your hand and communicate with me. I will upload these two models to Frontier at the end of the class. So, and also the exercise as such, so that you can do this at your own pace afterwards. So this curve shows that if there's a big deviation, here still the scale is 0 to 2, because I made this grid dump before. If we have a big deviation between the number of intrusions and the target for intrusions, then you have a relatively big reduction, a big effect of the measures, because still there's a big gap. And then as the gap becomes smaller and smaller, the measures become less and less effective. And as you are approaching the target of 2, meaning deviation 0 between the intrusions and the target intrusions, then the effect of the measures becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. That reflects the fact that it becomes more and more costly to achieve further improvement, which is the reason why we accept residual risks. Okay, then I assume that you have done this, and that means that you have such a variable with lookup where the input is the link quantity, the deviation from the target intrusion rate. This one. When you simulate this, and you compare the intrusion rate with the attack rate, so let's select this, shift, hold the shift cut, attack rate, graph. They, here you see the number of intrusions, number of attacks, they are 12, but you are preventing the intrusions, they are decreasing over time until they come close to the desired value. Okay, so if you haven't finished the model now, you have still done some of the model, and then I will put this model on Fronta so you can download it and compare with your results. So we have 15 minutes left for this term, and I will spend now the time looking at the issue of model validation and testing, slides 138, and so on. So, this is actually very important in practice because you need to make sure that your model is a good one. I will make also some emphasis on this even for your simple models when we have projects, that you reflect on how you can convince yourself and the user of your model that your model is a good one. First of all, the model cannot be said to be correct in the sense of being identical to some reality, because all models are simplifications. Reality is extremely messy and complex. And in order to understand reality, we will first neglect things that are not relevant to simplify the picture, but in a way that what we left is important for the phenomenon in question. But it is never exactly equal to reality, and the more accuracy you want in reproducing reality, the more details you need to have, the more complex the model, the more costly to develop, and also the harder to understand. So the benefit is in using models that are simple and accurate enough. So we are not concerned with the correctness of models. All models are wrong in that sense that they do not correspond to reality. But we know that some models are more wrong than others, and we want to make our model as little wrong as possible. It should be a model that is convenient, helpful for whatever purpose it has. And there are three things that we need to do. We need to verify first that the model is describing good enough, well enough, the reality. So that's verification. So your model, if the model is about security, it shouldn't result in a model about producing mobile phones. I'm joking. So, but basically the point is your model should describe whatever phenomenon you want to describe and not something different, not because you are doing a model of mobile phones, but rather because you are missing the picture and you perhaps believe you are modeling security, but you are making so many mistakes that your model describes in some other case. So, it's about the structure. It's about what you have in the model in terms of variables and how they relate to each other. If they are complex models, you will break them down in subsystems. and you start by first looking at the subsystems and convincing yourself and your client, the one that is paying you to make the model, that the subsystems correspond to the subsystems of the reality. So you will create a model skeleton, and then you will typically review the model with their client, which is the one that knows most about the problem, the one who knows where the shoe is pressing. So while a non-modeler has problems in creating a model, they are, as experts, helpful when it comes to verify that what you have in the model is describing their case, their problem, the situation. That's much simpler. You have to also to look at the inputs and the outputs, and also convince yourself that they will match the needs for the use of the model, that is, the model is going to be used for the user interface. Okay? Validation is the next term. It's about checking how the model behaves, and based on whichever inputs you are putting. And again, the point is that the model is useful, not right. So the distinction is the model useful versus non-useful, instead of the model right versus being wrong. So they are, what we would like to do is that the model first is able to reproduce the reference behavior, the empirical data that you have. But that's only part of the picture, because in addition, you should also test for other situations, for other kind of inputs that do not occur in reality, but you could imagine, and that the model should be able to get. The more tests you conduct as to how the model should behave, and the better the model is matching this test, the more you believe that the model is useful. So you will, for instance, put the model to extreme conditions. So what if the number of attacks is very, very high? Then you know what is going to happen. If the number of attacks is very high, the defenses will be overwhelmed and they break down and so on. So even without having empirical data about that, you can, in extreme conditions, tell what is going to happen, and your model should be able to reproduce this. No attacks, no intrusions. If the model is showing with no attacks that there are intrusions are occurring, something is wrong. So that's the kind of things that you do, looking for all kind of extreme conditions that you could imagine and predict what the model should do, and test that the model does that. Then you will calibrate your parameters so that your model reproduces the empirical data as best as possible. Then you will look for how sensitive the model is. If the model is very sensitive to a parameter, then the parameter, if it is an input parameter, needs to be determined with great accuracy, because otherwise putting the wrong value, even if it's a little wrong, will give very distorted results. On the other hand, if that's a parameter that you can manipulate in practice, a sensitive parameter is one that allows you to manage the results in reality. Finding parameters that the system is very sensitive to gives you the opportunity to manage the situation with little effort. Consider a very, very, very big ship. It's very difficult to steer if you want to apply forces on that. But if you have understood the principle of the rudder, a little change in the rudder, even in a big ship, is going to cause little force, but still allow you to manage the course of the ship. So the ship is very sensitive to the position of the rudder. That's an important insight. Then you will test for historical data. While it's less important than people think, because it is not enough to believe in the model, to have trust the model, that it just reproduces historical testing, especially if the model is complex and you have a lot of parameters, then you could force the model to reproduce some historical data, but for the wrong reasons. So for the right reasons means that the model passes a lot of tests. In order to validate, then SIM has a lot of test inputs. It has a tool for doing sensitivity analysis, not the Benson PLE that you're using, but the professional one. And I am talking now and telling you the vision for the future. If some of you engages in as developer simulation models, then you will have very powerful tools to do all this. You can couple the model to Excel or a statistical analysis tool so that it can improve the number of tests that you can do. Finally, you will test the usability of the model, the usefulness of the model, by learning as to what it tells you about different things. You create the models in order to experiment with options so that you don't need to do that in reality, which is very, very costly. Developing a model costs you about 1% or perhaps 0.5% of what it will mean doing that in practice. So instead of investing a lot of money in something that perhaps doesn't work, you should first create a model, simulate, see what happens, and then choose the best structure for your system based on what you learn from the simulation. Unfortunately, many companies haven't understood the importance of using simulation before they invest in new solutions, and therefore they often waste a lot of money in that they don't have the optimal solution. So finally, after doing all this, you will have a robust model, one that is not so sensitive on arbitrary adaptations, quite complete and tested. And then you can use that for your purpose, for your business, whether it is preventing attacks or whatever. And the model will be credible in the sense that you trust what it's saying because you have really tested, verified that it describes the problem that you are interested in, showing that it reproduces the observed data, in addition all kind of other tests that a good model should pass, and you have looked at all kind of what ifs and understood very well what the model does and why it does behave like this. You are much cleverer after having the model than you were before you had the model. Okay, so in principle I have finished now. If you look here at the content of this, then as I told you before, you don't need to read all the chapters in this year, rather those that I have described. So we have finished this course for the spring, and I leave it to you to do the exercises. They are very important, and Monday you will have a second project that will demand that you create some model of a situation. It will be a simple model, but still it will demand something. Accuracy is very important. It's also very important to read the project description very well. For instance, in the previous situation, in the first project, I have alerted you that when you model the European and the American case, the archetypes will be of the same type. Still, some students missed that hint and they created different types. So, relative achievement for the one, out of control for the other. So, if you miss the hints and the information because you don't read the project description well enough, then you are shooting yourself in the leg. That's why I emphasize read the project description first to get the overview, then more in detail to capture the important things, and don't stop until really you feel that you have everything. And that should be reproduced in the project plan at high level and the evaluation procedure where you have the different details that you have to check to make sure that you have everything and everything is done right. So I thank you for your participation. I think you are, on the average, quite good students. Even those that didn't do too well have learned, and I could see that you are on the right way. So I encourage you to continue with your efforts, and then you will feel that this is useful for your professional life. Thank you very much.